Are most of the debates about climate change missing the point? You know, I'm increasingly of the view that the government and indeed much of the classic environmental movement are badly missing the point on climate change and energy security. There's a lot of recent debate about whether an emissions trading system is the right model for putting a price on carbon, or whether a simple tax or a fee and dividend model or whatever would be better. We also argue about whether climate change is happening, or if it's important, or how much it'll cost, and so on. You know, it just goes on and on. These endless back and forth arguments about how much emissions we have to cut by a given date also end in no resolution. I mean, how many times have you heard environmentalists cry, we must cut our emissions by 80% by 2030 to avoid catastrophic climate change, only to have a politician or industry spokesman say, well, we're taking economically responsible course of action by aiming for a 5% cut below 2000 levels by 2020. Now, how do you pass all this? How do you work out who's right or who's rational or who's irrational? It's very difficult. Well, really, the truth is that we can never know and never be sure until after the fact, but at that point, we can't go back and change a decision that's already been made. And that's the real dilemma we're in right now. So we have to take a risk-averse approach, and we have to look at how we can rationally cut carbon emissions at the lowest effective cost for the greatest long-term energy security, and we need to know that we can do it quickly enough to avoid major impacts to the climate system, with the ultimate goal of replacing fossil fuels, certainly by the end of this century, and I would say most of them will have to be replaced by around the year 2060, so in about 50 years' time. How can we do that? Well, that's the really challenging problem with sustainable energy, and something that I've looked a lot at in my blog, bravenewclimate.com, and will continue to explore. For instance, I've started a new series which is looking at scenarios for energy in 2060. It's very much a personal view, but it's grounded in science. It's looking at what has happened over the last 50 years, which could give us some confidence about how energy systems will evolve in the future, what the possibilities might be lurking out there for major breakthroughs and how long it might take to get them implemented, and what sort of energy plan would governments or well-paid individuals be able to invest in to actually get this to happen? Because it's all very well talking about it, but actually making the thing happen is the key. Now, I've argued elsewhere, and I've written lots of newspaper opinion editorials on this, that really, we need to be focusing on the energy plan, how long it will take to implement, how much it will cost, and how we might get there. In other words, how the system will evolve from where we are today to where we want to be in the future. It's all very well to say, this is my dream for an energy system. For instance, the world powered 30% by solar energy and 20% by wind power and 20% by hydro and a dash of nuclear in there for good measure. Very eminent people have come up with scenarios which they call the wedges approach, where they say, let's break down this problem into, say, a billion tons of carbon units and say, well, if we hammer in 9 of these wedges, then we've solved the current emissions problem, and if we allow for growth, then we hammer in another, say, 5 to 10 carbon wedges, each of them representing a billion tons of carbon, and that way we can solve the problem. Well, that's a very artificial way to go about it, because we have to look at the energy systems in place and then work out how we might evolve from where we are today to where we want to be in the future. And that applies for wind technology and solar technology, and of course it applies for nuclear technology. On the Brave New Climate blog, I talk a lot about fourth generation nuclear power, which isn't commercialised today. There are many historical reasons for that, and I hope to talk about that in future podcasts. But the reality is that we have a set of reactor technologies which have been very well proven in the commercial world today, called thermal reactors. They're very inefficient with the way they use uranium, but of course they're incredibly more efficient than fossil fuel-based technologies or wind and solar. So we need to look at how we evolve from current nuclear systems, current solar and wind systems, to the future where we have full recycling technology, we have much better energy storage technology, and we have to look at how much that costs. And that will be an ongoing theme of the Brave New Climate blog for 2011. Stay tuned.